everything God plans to do for you is already sitting out there in the unseen world.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how to turn God's plans into your reality.
But until faith is attached to it, it won't be drawn down. It'll just stay up there.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Faith unlocks the door to salvation, but today Dr. Evans explains that what we believe about God's honesty and integrity unlocks even more of what the Lord has in store for us. Let's join him as he explains.
We are doing an exposition of 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11, calling it the triumphant trip to glory. And our goal is to be in sync with Peter's goal. Peter had a twofold goal. He states it in verse 8. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. His first goal is that you will live a useful, fruitful life. His second goal is in verse 11. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So his second goal is that you will enter heaven as a winner and not a loser. Everybody doesn't go to heaven the same way. Every Christian doesn't enter into eternity the same way. Some will enter as losers. Some will enter defeated. Some will enter having not progressed, never having seen victory, because they were neither useful nor fruitful, because there was no increase, ever increasing, he says in verse 8. He calls that the divine nature in verse 4, that every believer has been given this seed, this deposit within them that is deity, but you get it in seed form. That seed, or the DNA of deity, the God that has been deposited in every Christian soul, like any seed, has to grow, like the conception in the womb of a woman, of a new life. That seed has to grow in order for there to be the full manifestation of the life that's in the seed. Or the seed of a fruit, a watermelon or cantaloupe or some fruit. It starts in a seed form, but there's so much more in there, but you don't see it until it grows. Or vegetables or what have you. It is the growth that shows all that was deposited in the seed. So his concern is that this seed of the divine nature deposited in every believer begins to express itself and grow. And so he says at the beginning of verse 5, now for this reason, because you've got the divine life already deposited within you, apply all diligence. Stop shucking and jiving. Stop playing around. Stop taking this lightly and apply all diligence. Take it seriously if you're going to get the benefit that it offers. You cannot be a casual Christian and expect a magnificent transformation. It doesn't happen that way. You must cooperate with what God is doing inside by, as we saw in Philippians 2, working it out. You don't work it in. It's already been put in. You work it out. That is, you exercise it so that what is invisible becomes visible. So that raises the question, how do you do it? He's going to introduce us to the answer in one phrase. Well, that's all the time we will have to deal with. In your faith supply. That's it. In your faith supply. Many of you have gone to the store and purchased apple juice concentrate, orange juice concentrate, and in a small can you have all of this juice. But this juice needs to be expanded, and so you supply or add water. You add water to the apple juice or orange juice concentrate, and all of a sudden a little can becomes a full pitcher. A full pitcher of juice. Why? Because what you added expanded what it was. He says, in order to fully see flourish the new seed that is put in you, you must add to your faith. Obviously, his key word here is faith. Notice that you are adding to your faith, so he's assuming something, and that is you have a faith to add to. He's assuming you're already a Christian. When you became a Christian, you had to place faith alone in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of eternal life. You had to trust Christ for salvation. That means you had to exercise faith because you're dealing with somebody you don't see, believing in an event that you weren't at, the cross, but placing your confidence that Jesus Christ on the cross died as your substitute personally and you've received him into your life. So you've received faith which deposited the divine nature inside of you. He says, now to see that fully expressed outside of you, to see it working in your life, you must supply or add to your faith. So we've got to start off by making sure we're on the same page by what we mean by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who seek him. First of all, in order for faith to be faith, real faith, and not fake faith, it has to have substance. Faith is the substance. It's got to have stuff. It's got to have something concrete. It's got to have something real. And notice this. It is a substance tied to something you can't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence, something made visible, about something that is not visible. The moment you add sight, you no longer have faith. Because if you have sight, you don't need faith. So faith concerns itself with something you cannot see, that's still real, that will manifest itself as evidence. That is, it's going to show up, but you can't see it at the start of faith. Now, why does this matter? Because verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For them that he that cometh to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So let's get this started as we walk our walk today. You cannot do business with God without faith. But that shouldn't be too much of a problem because whenever you go see a painting, you assume there's a painter. You don't look at a painter painting and say, but I don't believe anybody painted it. It painted itself. So even though you didn't see the artist, even though you don't know the artist, all you got to see is what he painted, and you know he exists somewhere. Well, when you look at the painting of creation, it ought to be clear that there was a painter of creation. If you got a creation, you got a creator. So you must first believe that he is, that he exists for you to even come to him in the first place. But then he says you've got to believe something else, and that is that he responds. That he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So you got to believe two things. You got to believe that he's there, and then you got to believe that he acts, he responds, he rewards, that he comes through. You've got to believe in not only his person, his existence, but his ability and his capacity. So he says, if you're going to come to him, you got to come by faith. Therefore, if you are a faithless saint, you cannot do business with God. Even though you may be saved and on your way to heaven, because he's writing to Christians in the book of Hebrews, if you are not operating by faith, you cannot do business with him. He says it's impossible. Without faith, it is impossible. So as we talk about this thing of adding to your faith, we're not talking about some small subject here. We're talking about a subject that is absolutely mandatory for God to deal with you. And we're talking to you as a Christian now. Faith says one thing, and that is that God has integrity. That he cannot and does not lie. That God possesses integrity. You don't take medicine from a doctor you don't trust. You believe he's a liar, that he's a con artist, that he prescribes placebos. If you think that about him, then you're not going to go take his medicine. You want to believe he has integrity. You shouldn't use a lawyer you don't trust. You shouldn't follow a God you don't trust. It assumes the integrity of God, that he cannot and does not lie. That God says of himself, am I a man that I lie? So since God possesses integrity and therefore cannot lie, he demands to be trusted. Faith becomes your positive response to what God says. And faith is measured by your movement. It is measured by your walk, not your talk, your life, not your lips. That's why the Bible calls it walking by faith. No matter how faithless you feel, no matter how emotional you get about God, no matter how many tears run down your eyes, no matter how much you wave your hand in the air like you just don't care, no matter how much you shout, how many pews you jump, if the movement is not consistent with the divine expectation, there is no faith, no matter how emotionally you get about it. The converse is true. No matter how much emotionless you are about it, if your movement is moving in faith, that's faith, even when you don't feel it. He says, I want you to add to your faith. Why? Why does he want you to put some water with the apple juice? Why does he want you to stir up this faith? To expand your experience of God. So God can make himself more evident to you. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So God wants to make himself more evident to you, more real to you. He does not just want to be a concept, an idea, a thought, a perspective. He wants you to see him at work. But you will not see him at work without faith. In fact, it's impossible to see him. So he wants you to supply to your faith. So you expand your faith so you experience more of him. So you won't have to piggyback off everybody else's testimony because you've seen in evidence the invisible God bring visible reality to your life.
When Dr. Evans comes back in a moment, he'll tell us more about why the most important thing to know before trusting God is whether God can be trusted. First, don't miss your chance to get a copy of Tony's current teaching series, The Triumphant Trip to Glory, as our gift. This brand new 8-part collection will show you what you can do during your journey on earth to make your arrival in heaven even more amazing. And if you contact us right away, we'll send it to you as our way of saying thanks for any contribution you can make, large or small, to help support Tony's ministry here on this station. This limited time offer ends soon, so visit us today at tonyevans.org or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and request your copy of The Triumphant Trip to Glory. I'll repeat our contact information later on, but right now let's join Dr. Evans for part two of today's message.
So the question is, does he have integrity? Can he be trusted or is he a liar to be not believed? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, Jesus says, he would do no miracles there because of their unbelief. It says their unbelief kept him from doing something supernatural. Christians wonder why God's not doing any supernatural for them. Unbelief. Unbelief limits God. God, when he sees unbelief, recoils because you're questioning his integrity. We don't even like folk questioning our integrity. So you can imagine how a perfect God feels when his integrity is being questioned by a human being. So he wants to attach you to the spiritual, but he will not attach you apart from faith. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 and 21, he told his disciples, the reason why you couldn't deal with what you had to deal with is because your faith was too small. You had little faith. You had tiny faith, but you had a big miracle need. See, isn't that the problem we run into? We want God to do something big while we offer him the smallest amount of faith. He said, that thing was too big for you to bring me that kind of faith. But because you didn't grow it, you couldn't use it because you didn't have it. And so God wants to expand your faith experience, my faith experience, so that we expand our experience of the invisible God entering our visible world. Evidence, manifestation. Well, how does this work? Adding to your faith. Look at James 2. James 2, because his goal is that you live a useful, fruitful life and have an abundant entrance into heaven. Verse 14 of James 2 says, what use is it, my brethren, because he's writing to Christians, if someone says he has faith but he has no works, can that faith save him? Well, he's not talking about going to heaven because he calls them brethren. They're already saved and going to heaven. The word save means to be rescued or delivered. Rescued or delivered. So if it's talking about sinners, it's talking about being delivered from hell. But if it's talking about saints, it's talking about being delivered in history. He says God wants to show you his intervention in history. But in order for that to happen, you must put your faith to work. You can't just be talking it. Faith without works is of no use. So it is possible to be a Christian, because he calls them brethren, and have a useless faith. Faith is like a muscle. It must be exercised in order to be built. You don't get muscles by hoping they grow one day. Hoping you bulk up one day. Wishing for it. Feeling like it. Desiring it. None of that is going to build a muscle. It must be exercised. Faith must be exercised in order for it to grow. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you got saved. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. He says in verse 1, you got saved. Then he says in verse 2, when you got saved, you experience an introduction by faith into another realm called grace. Faith, when you got saved, however many years ago that was, gave you an introduction to grace. When you are introduced to somebody, you're meeting them for the first time. You don't know them yet. You don't know much about them yet. That's why they say, why don't we have lunch? Why don't we have dinner? Why don't we go out, or whatever the nature of the friendship is. The introduction just gets you started, because it's introducing you to something that you are going to get to know more about as you spend time with that person, if it's an introduction to a person. Or if you get an introduction to math, that's 1 and 1 equals 2. That's not geometry and algebra and calculus. It's not all of that. You're getting introduced to something that's the foundation for a whole lot of other things. When you got saved, verse 1, when you accepted Christ, verse 1, that just introduced you to a whole nother realm called grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. Grace is all that God has agreed to supply to you. Now watch this. This blows your mind. Verse 8. But God of Romans 5, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, that's salvation. But look at the next two words. Much more than. Oh, wait a minute. More than getting saved? Yeah. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, saved, we shall be delivered from the wrath of God through him. Watch this. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay, did you get that? He saved you, but there's a whole lot more than just going to heaven. How could there be something better than going to heaven, experiencing God on your trip there? He says there is much more because we will experience him and his delivering power in our life. That's a promise. That's a promise. His resurrected life, him sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, is designed to do much more than just take you to heaven when you die. And yet a lot of Christians are living to just go to heaven when they die, never having experienced much of God on the trip there. But he says there's much more. Question is, well, how do I know if God is offering it? That's a question. Two ways. One, is it supported by Scripture? That's the first way. Is it consistent with his revealed word? Because if it's not supported by Scripture, you don't have a basis for it. But then the Scripture doesn't talk about everything. So how do I know that this thing that's consistent with Scripture is for me, that it applies to me? Bible has a regular answer for that. Two or three witnesses. The Bible says by two or three witnesses shall a matter be confirmed. So the Holy Spirit confirms an application of a biblical principle by giving two or more confirmations of it. And those confirmations mean that that principle applied in this way belongs to you. So you look for the confirmation as long as it's consistent with the principle. And then you walk in faith even though there's nothing you can see. Everything God plans to do for you is already sitting out there in the unseen world. It's already out there. It's just like video waves and audio waves. It's just floating out there waiting for it to be sucked down by faith. But until faith is attached to it, it won't be drawn down. It'll just stay up there. But when faith, acting in faith, not talking in faith, is attached to it, at God's timing, programming comes down and becomes evident. The movie's already up there, but the programming on your screen becomes evident when it's pulled down.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with another illustration to wrap up our time together. First, we encourage you to follow up on today's message by reviewing the full-length version on your own and by sharing it with your friends. As always, copies are available on CD or DVD. The title to ask about is Faith for Your Journey. Better yet, it comes as a part of Tony's 8-lesson series called The Triumphant Trip to Glory. Remember, if you contact us right away, we'll send you this brand new collection as our gift to say thanks for your contribution of any size to help keep this program coming your way. Get details right away and make your request online at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. The cornerstone of Christianity is that we're saved by faith alone. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us why our faith needs supplements, kind of like vitamins, to help us grow into the people God wants us to be. Right now, though, he's back with a final story to share with us.
Okay, everybody in here has electricity. In other words, everybody's home has power. You're connected to the power company. In fact, there's so much power out there, it's got everybody's house covered. But let me make a suggestion. I would suggest that you don't call up the power company and ask them to come turn on your lights. They ain't gonna come. They ain't gonna come. They're not gonna turn on your lights. What they're gonna do is give you access to their power. You must plug in your own lamp and flip your own switch, but that doesn't create power. All that does is that access existing power. You have to cooperate with the power connection in order to have evidence of the power's presence. Some Christians are satisfied just to turn on a closet light. And so all they get is a closet experience with God. Other Christians will turn on a bedroom light. They'll get a bedroom experience with God. Some are not satisfied. They want to light up the whole premises. And guess what? There's enough power for just your closet, and there's enough power for all of your premises. So the question is, how much God do you want?
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.